This is a recording of ISIS International from the Global NGO Forum on Beijing Plus 15, held in New York in February 2010.
ISIS International, documenting feminist visions, creating critical communications, and strengthening social movements.
Madam Chair, good morning, my dear colleague and friends. I'm Tsai Pi, I'm 39 years old. This is my pleasure to be here in this forum to share with you some stories and actions from the Asia-Pacific region. 15 years ago, a girl was born in this region, specifically in my hometown, Beijing. After over 20 years pregnancy, her birth certificate states that she was born of the United Nations, with a signature by these member states, mainly by men. However, as everyone knows, she was given birth by the International Women's Movement that envisioned a world with equality, justice, and peace after decades of unwavering struggles, advocating and lobbying, individually and collectively. In the past 15 years, like many girls born in this region, we're dominating this primary culture of some preference still in the practice. This girl has been struggling every single day, not only to survive, but define her rights to fight against the marginalization and ignorance of her rights. As there are new members and new babies are giving birth in this family, and a lot of attention and resources are given to the other new priorities, such as MDG, the Millennium Development Goals, or Ontario, in the quote, financial crisis, food security, climate change, etc., etc. Despite of this, this girl is growing up and getting mature, as well as the movement that gave birth to her and continue nurturing her. I stop here. I don't think I'm the right person in this auditorium to teach you the brief history of the Girls of Beijing Platform for Action. Nor am I attempting to describe all the overwhelming challenges and difficulties this newborn baby has been undergoing in the past 50 years, because many of you are participating and creating this part of history. The point I want to make here is that for me, the generation that grew up with the inspiration of Beijing process to review this history, to identify the achievement and gaps in the implementation of the Beijing Platform for Action, is a unique way of self-empowerment. Just like the brief history that the kids are showing us, the part of the American women's history, because I believe that people who don't have or own their history will not be able to own their future. This is why I think we get together again after 50 years of Beijing to explore the answer for those questions. Where we are at this moment and how we can go beyond this, how can we move forward? Like, we do not bother you with list of achievements had made in the past 50 years in the region and civil society organization. We know very well like how much efforts we have made to make this happen. More important for us is to be alert and make sure that progress made will not be reversed or turned back. Given the risk of the new liberal globalization, political conservatism, religious extremism and fundamentalism, and the militarization in some countries in the region that threaten this progress throughout the years and continue to create a critical situation and insecurity for women and girls through violation of their human rights. Yes, the world has changed and it continues to change. Definitely, our today's discussion will go far beyond the 12 critical areas of concern in Beijing Platform for Action in 1995. We recognize the in numerous and complex challenges still facing women and girls in the Asia-Pacific region, especially growing food insecurity and the negative impacts on livelihood, the increasing impact on women's rights, women and girls in situations of armed conflict, increasing violence against women and girls, restrictive economic frameworks, and women and climate change. We will not only discuss about the impact of these multiple crises on women, but also the women's initiatives and coping strategies in response to this crisis, which should be integrated in the policy-making process and implementation to address the issues, including at the UN level. There's no real effective solutions without women's participation. We often ask ourselves this question: what are the new emerging issues? Violence against women and sexual exploitation that happen all the time, and now we confront them in the internet, in the cyberspace, and across borders. Devastating natural disasters like landslide, land erosion, the flood, the constant deforestation, and land grabbing displace the indigenous communities and the fact that women and children harvest, which creates so-called climate change refugees. Hunger is on rise, and poverty still has a women's face. In the Dadaab themselves, the educated women and girls leave their homes and children behind to work as domestic helpers or nurses, caretakers in the northern countries, which result in the deficit of caregiving in already poorer countries and communities. These issues are new: violence against women, migration, refugees, citizenship. Are they new? I would say the issue remains the same, but the challenges are new, and the context are new. The challenges encourage us to re-examine the feminist analysis and practice and strategize our advocacy to understand the complexity of economic, political, cultural contexts that are reshaping these issues, to surface intersectionality of subjectivities and identities such as gender, class, race, caste, age, ethnicities, religion, and citizenship and sexuality. In some ways, the world looks much bleaker than 50 years ago. Many people ask, are there signs of hope? What are they, if any? Yes, I would say there are signs of hope, which are taken by women into their own hands. What's lacking is rapid evolution of media in the past 15 years, especially with the development of new information communication technology, ICTs. The internet has become the mechanism for organizing and mobilizing. Of course, it is largely dominated by the concentrated capital, and they can impose propaganda message. That is why the internet does not take place of face-to-face communication like we are having now. People need face-to-face communication and talk to each other and discuss issues. Then comes the question of language. When we discuss and we can communicate what language we use, what language we are speaking in our communication with various stakeholders from UN level to the community level, in our advocacy and in our social mobilization. I remember during the AP Asia Pacific NGO Forum Beijing Class 10, I attended a seminar on how to lobby your government delegates. The consensus in that seminar was, in order to lobby them, we must understand their language and we must speak their language. Absolutely correct. However, as a women's movement, grounding on the women's experience and the perspectives, it's more important for us to speak the language of women that reflect and express their life's experience, wisdom, suffering, struggles, and to translate and transform them to the language of policy recommendations without loss in translation, without compromise of women's rights. But women do not speak one language in Asia Pacific, We speak thousands of different languages and dialects. And how we communicate with those languages. If we want to be a communicator and translator, the first thing we need to do is to be good listeners. To listen with passion. And we also have to learn the different language that we use when we talk to the different stakeholders and different, different communities, different target audience, to the media, to the community. I think we use different language. And we often find out there's a gap between the language. That's why we found it so difficult to communicate with each other. But there is a hope, as I said. I want to give you tell a story about the Chinese story about a man who visited a fortune teller to tell him, you know, you will be very poor and live in a miserable life until age of 45. This man was very curious and eager to know also what would happen after that. The fortune teller said, well, you will get used to it. But I think women have been suffering the long history of being oppression. And we're not getting used to it at all, and we're continuing to fight. But what is encouraged for me to see is the enthusiastic young generations involved in the discussion in Asia Pacific NGO Forum in last October in Manila. And I also am very encouraged to see that the history that were portrayed by this wonderful performance by the kids. And I know that the history of women's movements continue to be written here in this forum. And that gave me a big sign of hope. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Tai Kuping. I'm sure that all the parties present in this room appreciate so much your work without compromise in human rights and comes from you for the person of China.
This speech was brought to you by ISIS International. For more audio reports, please tune into the ISIS website at www.isisinternational.org.